Right now it is time to bring in our good friends, Marcy and David, from theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com. They're 24 hours a day, and they spread news from South County and adjacent areas, events that are coming up, and more, keeping us all informed and keeping you connected. And we're lucky enough to have them here on Robin Hood Radio as well, as we always take a look at a few stories. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And how are things up in Great Barrington Town this morning?
It's really warm. It's tropical up here.
And we just don't have enough snow. I mean, I was waiting for a 12 to 14 inch snowfall, and I bought food for 4 days. I was ready. What did we get? Like an inch.
We actually got about 4 inches here, but then the ground has been so cold because it's been so bitter cold that even during the day when the temperature got up to 36 and it turned to rain here, the minute it hit the ground, the rain froze because the ground just is not, it is so cold. So it turned into a miserable day, but you know what? It's wintertime and...
Yeah, it's wintertime. I mean, we've become an area of wusses.
You have become...
We used to have cold winters and lots of snow, and now we have warm winters and no snow. It's not what I'm accustomed to.
But you have become a classic New Englander because
I grew up in... Yeah. I was born in New England. Yeah.
Because my mother and my grandmother always said... In the wintertime in New England, you prepare for the worst and hope for the best. And the worst that happens is you have extra provisions. And so I've always learned that. If you go into my house and you look at my pantry, there's 35 cans of various things that are there. and I also have a gas stove because I don't have to rely, even though I have a generator, I don't rely on electricity. So I got that.
Yeah, so do we. Yeah.
No, we don't have a generator, so we take our chances.
And
it's not so bad in the summer if you lose power. But
in the winter, terrible.
We've never lost so far in the winter.
Well, you're lucky people.
But we are lucky, yeah.
All right, we'll go to some of the stories that we're looking at theberkshireedge.com. First of all, I read the story, and immediately after I read the story, I mentioned it on the air, the Great Barrington Health Board declined to advocate COVID vaccine requirements for Berkshire Hills students and staff.
Yeah, I know.
What's the matter with them? Yes, this is a very odd decision. They declined once and for all, as we say in our story, to declare a mandate for COVID vaccinations for kids, school kids. I'm not sure exactly what they're thinking. on the board is a pediatrician, in fact there were two doctors. One was a doctor from Stockbridge and a local pediatrician, and they advocated for the vaccines, but they were voted down. They were only two of the only two votes. So these people are on the health board.
No, it's surprising.
It's become more political than health than anything else. Really.
Yeah, it has. But it's surprising here. I mean, I haven't watched. We have the video of the. For anybody who's interested, I haven't watched it yet. But it's surprising here because we really have had. So much participation in getting vaccinated. So it's part of the concern is with children being vaccinated. But there are a lot of people who are very upset about it.
Yeah.
It's now become one of those tug of war issues. There's no in between. There's no gray issues here. Everything, including COVID, including vaccinations, including it has now become just clearly black and white.
I think so.
Yeah.
And if anybody's interested in watching the discussion, we have a video of the meeting. And if you go to 12 and a half minutes into the video, you'll see the reasoning and decision making and the discussion of that particular issue.
Right.
All right.
So it is hard to believe, but
right.
You know, there's an election coming up, and maybe the Board of Health will be voted out.
you just don't know nowadays. You just don't know. Interesting story.
Well, the thing is that also, you know, the people who showed up to speak were by and large people who opposed vaccinations. And so, I don't know. I mean, we're kind of speechless about it.
Well, it's, you know, the public has, this is once again, we always say we have, in New England, we have what I think is one of the best forms of government, which is, yes, politicians can talk, they can come up with things, but they can't do anything without the input and the vote of the general public. And if the general public doesn't show up at these meetings and
right.
the general public doesn't get their understanding of what they want done, this is what happens, and
right.
and it's all about participation. Our form of government here in New England is all about participation. It's not up to the politicians. It's up to us. And if we don't show
right.
up, and other people do show up, shame on us.
But
this is a public health emergency,
yeah.
and this is most unfortunate.
Yeah.
And it's surprising too. In what is supposed to be very liberal Great Barrington, you know.
I want to move on to your district attorney, Andrea Harrington. She is going to put efforts into upgrading and reforming the county's justice system, and this has to do with racial bias racial bias is everywhere, but it's, even in Berkshire County, yes, of course.
Yes, oh, yes, definitely. Well, this was, a piece that she wrote, of course, for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, about what she's doing in the district attorney's office to make sure that the office is not racially biased. And she is making a big effort not to be punishing poverty. She has explained to us, and I think she explains also in this letter, that she's not prosecuting cases that are really the symptom of poverty, and family disorganization. That she's really trying to go after people who are who have committed more important crimes. And she's not, she's making a big effort, she says, to not participate in the over-prosecution of communities of color and directing their resources toward investigating and prosecuting domestic violence, sexual assaults, and homicides. So, and she says that she's working with community partners to organize the community around public health issues and public health solutions. So, she's also up for re-election, and so she is, making a big effort to communicate to the public the what she's done in her two or three years of office, because she came in with a liberal agenda. She overturned the Pittsfield political machine, ran against it, and won. And now she's running for re-election, and so she's making a concerted effort to try to let people know what it is that she's doing. This was an article that was appropriate for Martin Luther King Day, but that we also had another letter that David didn't put on the list. We had a letter to the editor from a group of local organizations, all of whom are working or trying to rally public support for the Voting Rights Act. And it was a very interesting letter from about 12 different local organizations urging people to support the Voting Rights Act, which Martin Luther King supported, and with information about what's happening and who to write to in order to support the Voting Rights Act. So those two articles, we had them both on Martin Luther King Day, and they go together as a pair, really. I mean, things that the district attorney is doing, but also things that the public can do in order to fulfill the ambitions of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. So even here, with our small black community, we're facing injustice and also concerns about voting.
I want to move on, and we have to go back to COVID, of course, the pandemic, and how it's affecting the Berkshires. You've got updates on and recommendations actually from Berkshire Health Systems.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
This is a very interesting. This is not something that was written for The Edge. It was sent out by the. By one of the lead doctors at Berkshire Health Systems about what to do if you think you have symptoms of COVID,
right.
We just thought that it was such a useful article that we published it, which is one of the nice things that we can do. And in this small paper, we have the flexibility to do things like that.
Well, it's important, here in Litchfield County, things are starting to slow down a little bit, but the superintendent of schools has done a great job in Region 1, and she used to come out with daily updates, and now she comes up with weekly updates, and she updates the COVID status in the Region 1 school system by the elementary schools, the students that have come down with COVID-19, and the staff members, not just teachers, but staff, and then the Region 1 district as a whole, and the high school. And it serves to quell people who are against posting these things. That okay, we get a weekly look at how the area is going and how it's either rising or dropping, and how. But we look at COVID-19 and it's been with us so long now. It is a health issue. It is a crisis issue. There's no doubt about it. But it actually has become an economic issue because people just can't work when they have COVID-19, and it affects all angles of employment in our region.
Right.
Yeah,
yes,
it does. But
yeah.
We're lucky to have a network where these kinds of cautions and about health issues is really active, and communicating often and thoroughly with the public, and we're lucky,
yes we are.
we're lucky because we have a lot of good, dedicated healthcare professionals in our area.
We have a kind of active public participation in public issues, too.
Although, our first story about the vaccine mandate for schools seems to fly in the face of everything we're saying about how lucky we are. But we are lucky that, we have officials who have to be responsive and have to be responsive to the will of the people.
Okay, so, we're going to circle the wagons again here.
Yeah.
Okay.
This
story is a story I think will be coming back to year after year. Mm-hmm. And that is, the state has found that the Housatonic Water System, privately owned company, has exceeded the limits on carcinogenic contaminants. Once again, I feel so sorry for these people in that get water from that water company.
Those people who get their water from the Housatonic Water Works. I mean, Housatonic Water Works, it really does sound like a stop on the monopoly board.
It does. I'll trade you that for Connecticut. That's right.
That's good.
And maybe that's what it is, and somebody who has a monopoly on the water in the town of the village of Housatonic, which is within the town of Great Barrington, but their water is just awful. You know, it's brown, and now it, you know, there's not more than a suspicion, a discovery that the water exceeded the standard or maximum contaminant level for something called halocetic acid compounds, also known as HAA5.
Right.
And this is a byproduct that forms when chlorine compounds that are used to disinfect the water react with other naturally occurring chemicals in the water. So that's now been found in the water that people in Housatonic are getting from their taps. Now, the company claims that it doesn't happen consistently, and it it happens occasionally, and if it does happen, they will alert everybody about it, but, you know, to be...
Not to use the water.
Not to use the water, but to think it, you know, to be every day wondering, when I turn on that tap, you know, is this water safe to drink? It's a terrible inconvenience.
This privately owned public water system that serves a village is really an anachronism. And... it would be really a benefit to the public if somehow or other his operation could become publicly supported by taxpayers, and he could give it up as a private enterprise.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
Because he doesn't have the money, really, to, as a private enterprise, he doesn't have the resources to maintain it. That's what this is showing.
Although it will be very expensive for the town of Great Barrington to take it over. The Great Barrington Select Board is currently considering options for taking over the company or merging it with the Great Barrington Fire District, which provides water for the rest of the town. But that hasn't happened yet, and to some extent it's because the current owner doesn't want to give it up, but the other problem is that can the town of Great Barrington afford to buy it?
And maintain it.
Gosh sakes, it's 2022. This is Berkshire County. This is none of this is acceptable. It really isn't. I hate to be so forceful about it, but
right.
None of it is accessible is acceptable for the people that have to live through it. It's just... it's amazing, actually. It's absolutely amazing. It's a story my heart goes out to the people that have to, as you say, turn that tap on every morning and wonder what the hell's coming out.
And this is a story, as you noted, that we've been, you know, that's been an issue for many years.
Yeah.
And he's just a dog in the manger about it, you know.
Let's go on to a couple of other stories
anyway.
to get away from the darkness of the Housatonic Waterworks. you've got a new column that you're featuring, Reason Gone Mad.
Right. And this is by
Bill Shine.
Bill Shine, who is a local presence here in Great Barrington. He ran for Congress about 7 or 8 years ago, and it was really, it was Bill Shine's campaign that convinced David and me that we should start the Berkshire Edge, because when Bill Shine was running for Congress, there wasn't a single outlet in Berkshire County that even reported on his candidacy. And we realized that There just were not enough newspapers in Berkshire County. So, you know, he was one of the influences that got us on, helped us make this insane decision.
So we're sort of like a news outlet gone mad.
Yes, we are. But anyway, he's also, has been a professional comedy writer. He's now, he makes his living as a computer consultant, but But this is a very funny column. I mean, and it will be a continuing column under the rubric Reason Gone Mad. But this first one is, here's what I've learned living for many years in an old house. And it's very funny. I mean, he says things like, what's a good one to read, David? Well, the very first thing he says, if you stare too long at a 100-year-old galvanized steel pipe in your basement, you know, it'll begin to leak. No physical contact is required. Just a steady, nervous, leak-producing gaze. And he talks about his experience with contractors, you know, that when a contractor says there's rot, rot means a lot. And when the contractor realizes that his triplets spring semester tuition bill has arrived, he suddenly finds a lot of rot in your old house. So, anyway, it's very amusing, and he will write on different subjects. We're not sure how regularly the column is going to come, but it's a welcome bit of comedy in our dark times.
And in the last minute or so, you've got a profile of a student who's found a new path through Greenacres.
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's a good story, too. That's Sheila Clary, who's written about a student. Well, we should mention, we've mentioned before about Greenacres, which is an organization of students who help people plant gardens. And
well, it's more than that. I mean,
yeah.
It's an organization that is that engages young people in the whole process of gardening and agriculture and learning about agriculture. They also do. I mean, we have three raised beds that they built and installed for us, and they do that too as a way of making money. But it's really, you know, vocational, environmental training and community engagement that this organization is about.
And they had a very distinguished guest at their gala, Yo-Yo Ma.
And Emmanuel Axe.
And Manny Axe.
Right.
Who played for the supporters of Greenacres.
Right, but and what Sheila is saying, you know, that Greenacres, I mean, what he's talking about Greenacres as a cultural organization, and he said that culture transmits knowledge that helps people, and it only works when it's actively received. And so Sheila is writing about this young man, Derek Turner, who was kind of a wayward student, who got involved with Greenacres and not only got knowledge transmitted to him, but he also actively received it.
Well, it sort of transformed his life.
Yeah, and he got involved with Greenacres when he was a student at the Du Bois Middle School, and an after-school program there, which, you know, that Greenacres participated in, combined classwork with a service learning project, and Derek got involved, and he is now very involved, and, you know, and he's thrilled. So,
all right.
Yeah, it's a really good organization.
Yeah.
Well, the location, folks, is theberkshireedge.com. All the news, all the information, all the upcoming events that are in our area. And, of course, they join us here on Robin Hood Radio. David and Marcy, I want you to have a good week, and we'll check with you guys next week.
Yeah, you too.
Yes, well, you too.
Take care. That is the Berkshire Edge on air. Once again, you can find them at theberkshireedge.com.